Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two.
All right, we're going to get into our first segment today, which is called Girl, What's Good, where we talk about something we've been loving for the past couple of weeks. It could be a book, a podcast, a store, anything that we've been loving. So, Samaria, what's been good with you?
Okay, so I'm really excited to not be sharing a movie or a TV show today because I feel like that is my go-to. But this is actually something that I read. And some of you guys might know I am working on a dissertation right now. And so I'm reading a lot of things. And one of the things I came across was called a Naomi shower. And apparently it's something that they're doing in Botswana where they have a shower for mothers-in-law. And I believe they do one for fathers-in-law too, called the Laban showers. But it's supposed to be a shower where women in the community come and talk to someone who's about to be a mother-in-law and just like encourage them and show them what the role kind of is to ease them into it. Because I know everybody knows what the stereotype of a mother-in-law is, like this person who's like trying to ruin your life, who's like overstepping boundaries and all of that stuff. So this type of a shower is something that's done in Botswana, particularly in the capital of Botswana, to just alleviate some of the tensions that are there and help the couple, like usher the couple into a successful marriage, but also successful relationships with the in-laws. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought it was a really like nifty idea. I think it's really cool. And the reason behind it was just that so much attention is focused on the bride, right? And this bridal season, like bridal shower, bachelorette, this and that. But the women who started this were like, there isn't anything like that for mothers-in-law who are having trouble with this next step or accepting a daughter-in-law, or maybe mm-hmm. in the case of the fathers, accepting a father-in-law. No, accepting a son-in-law. But yeah, so that's something that I read from actually a biblical scholar, and I thought it was really neat. So I wanted to share that on here.
Okay, I love that. And hope I'm assuming that they probably focus a lot on what they're gaining. Because I think in the process, not that I'm a mother-in-law yet, but mm-hmm. from what I've observed, I think there's just a lot of focus on like what you're losing and just yeah. relationships shifting and changing and being at a different stage. And yeah. I love that. I will say, though, that I think the stereotypes and just the need from it is coming from somewhere. So I do think that it can be sometimes exaggerated yeah. and people can go into, you know, situations with their in-laws feeling a bit of angst, but I do think that there is some truth to it. So I'm happy to hear that it's being addressed, and I love for us to have something like that over here.
Yeah, I know. It's so I'm from West Africa. That's not something I've ever heard about, like a shower for it, but I do believe it's something that has been happening more recently. So it's not something that has been happening since the beginning of time or anything like that. But yeah, I love the idea. It seems like it is something that is really hard on the, you know, the family that's letting go of, quote unquote, letting go of a child, and just thinking of the child as now someone's spouse and what their role needs to be in that case. So yeah, that's my girl, what's good. See,
okay.
I didn't have a movie this time.
Well, I actually have, I don't know if you would call it a show or a podcast, So something that I've really been loving is this podcast and YouTube channel called Mr. Ballin. And it's a storytelling podcast that focuses on mysteries, thrillers, true crime. And they have a specific segment of podcasts that focus on people going places or doing things that they shouldn't have, where sometimes it kind of works out for them, and unfortunately, other times it doesn't. And what I've been loving about it is one, just like the length of the episodes, they're pretty short and concise to the point, but I've really been loving the storytelling. It's one of those, it's very vivid, even though it's audio, and the host of the podcast, he does an amazing job of being very, very detailed but concise to where you feel like you're in the story. And he's really good about like giving nuggets kind of about what will happen, but there's always like a crazy plot twist. Like the way that he tells the story, you just don't know how it's gonna go or how it's gonna end. And you could be like a minute away from the end of the episode. I will mention that these are all true stories. So that part is kind of interesting in that it can feel a bit creepy at times, depending on how you feel about listening to like mysteries and true crime type of content. Sometimes it can get a bit too real, but I've enjoyed it. It's called Mr. Ballin, and I would suggest starting out with the series of like where people are going places that they shouldn't go. Those are kind of the most interesting to me right now because a lot of times there are signs, but obviously like hindsight is 2020. And yeah, so it's called Mr. Ballin, and you can find it on YouTube or any podcast platform.
Okay, cool. I know we're just talking about true crime a few weeks ago, and I feel like I've kind of changed my mind on it after the Jeffrey Dahmer of stuff was re released, the US Netflix one. I think there are other documentaries on it. But yeah, so after that, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to take a step back from this genre as a whole.
Well, that one I couldn't even get halfway through episode one,
I didn't
but
even start. The family, like the families of the victims, are coming out on Twitter and saying that things weren't cleared with them, and it just kind of brings up a lot of the pain that they were experiencing. And I, when they specifically asked that people don't watch it, that immediately turned me off. I was like, okay, there's nothing that entertaining about it that I have to sit here and watch it when people are actively speaking out and saying, please don't do that. Like, you guys are hyping something up that has torn us apart and now is doing it again because of the popularity of this new one. So,
Yeah.
yeah. All right. Well, now that we've told you guys what's good with us, we are going to jump into today's topic, which is women who are in competition with other women. And we decided to do this topic just because it seems like something that society pushes. But even outside of society, like you notice it sometimes with other women when they're in a room full of women or maybe even one-on-one interaction. So we figured it's something that we would sit down and just chat a little bit about. So my first question that I would like to pose is, do you think you're a competitive person just in general? And if so, what areas does it show up the most for you?
I say I'm not a competitive person unless there's something tangible for me to gain, or if I'm participating in a group. So if I'm on a team, oh, I'm going to give my all because I don't want to be the slacker on the team. I don't want to be holding everybody back. But as an individual, I'm only competitive if I have something individually to gain. So I'm not that person where I'm like, oh, I just have to be number one to have bragging rights and to, oh, I came in number one against everyone. No, that's not very motivating for me. Now, if I have something to gain, then like money, a prize, my grade, of course, I want to do the best that I can. But in general, I wouldn't say that I'm a competitive person. And is it the Myers-Briggs test? Where they do the different personality, not personality types, but I know it's one where they tell you like if you're competitive or not, or maybe it's your personality type. I can't remember the name right now, but I know competition didn't rank very high for me when I've taken that in the past.
Okay.
So yeah, I want to hear your answer on if you think that you're a competitive person, but then I also want to hear if you think that I'm a competitive person.
Okay, I'll start with you. So I don't think you're a competitive person. I think you're not really worried about what other people are doing. Also, you know,
Sounds terrible. I do
but
worry about other people.
it's true. It's kind of true. So that works in your favor. It's a positive thing because you're not like ridiculously competitive. And I think there's a little bit of that in me too, but I think I am competitive when it comes to games or like sporting events, right? So
I'd agree.
yeah, for sure. Anytime I go to a game night, y'all know that's my thing. I love a good game night. I am there to win. And the only time I'm not competitive is if I'm on the team with someone who I know is like the weakest link, then I would like try to play it off. Like, you know, when you have family game nights or something and you're with the youngest child in the room,
Oh,
in those
yeah.
moments I'm like, oh guys, it's not about winning. Let's just have fun, you know? But outside of that, I am very competitive. I do want to win at any game or any sport that I play. In life, like as far as career achievements or like milestones, I'm not very competitive. But I also think sometimes people confuse being competitive with being ambitious. Like I think they see women who are ambitious, they want to step on everybody to get to where they're going. I think that's a really common misconception. And for me, I am very ambitious, but that doesn't have to do with me like competing with everybody else. I can eat and you can eat too. You know, 9 times out of 10, the way that I want to eat or the things that I want to accomplish are different from what you would want to accomplish. So, yeah, I'm not competitive in that sense.
Yeah, and I think for me, one of the reasons why I guess I'm not as bought in on being competitive with other people or women is that I feel like it's all relative to whoever's participating that day or whatever's going on during that time. And
Yeah.
so you, if you're competing against other people who were mediocre, say at whatever said thing, you may come in first, but you came in first on people who maybe were just mediocre on that thing.
Right.
So, but you know, maybe if you're in a space where everyone performs at top tier, then you know, you coming in at first place, it means something different.
Yeah.
So competition is flexible in that way, in that it's not always created equal, and bragging rights just doesn't appeal to me
Yeah,
in that way.
it also depends on maybe the career you're into. So I would imagine that a woman who's in like a sales-driven career is probably a little bit more competitive, but I'm not in any type of field like that. Like I can be competitive, but I'm sure people strive to be competitive in the field that I'm in, like number of things I've published and you know, whatever. But yeah, I can imagine that the career you're in has a huge impact on whether or not you're competitive in career.
Oh yeah, definitely in sales because that's how you eat as well. So it's a two birds with one stone. You come in first place, but also you probably make more money at
Yeah.
the end of the day. So I want to ask you, do you think a woman seeing other women as competition is a negative thing or something that they shouldn't be doing, or it's like, oh, it's okay, or it's a positive thing, or it's just a part of life?
Okay, so I think for the most part, it is unproductive unless you're someone who's like trying out for a team or you know something like that. Like obviously we would expect Simone Biles to be competitive in some way, you know, or someone who is playing for the WNBA would expect them to have some type of competitive bone in their body, you know. But I think as far as other women go, I don't know that it's the most productive thing. I understand wanting to be the best. And yeah, okay. So, positive, you should want to be the best at whatever thing is your craft, right? Negative is I think that it's taken a little bit too far sometimes. And it's not just how can I elevate myself? It's how can I crush others, you know? And that's not me saying, oh, women shouldn't be strategic with how they accomplish their goals. But when it turns into a thing where you're trying to be the only person in the room, or you're trying to prevent other people from getting to a place that doesn't even threaten your position, you know, then I think it's absolutely negative. There was a movie, or maybe it was a show on Netflix, and I have to look it up, where this girl wanted a specific internship, and it was in a different language, but she wanted a specific internship. And so she was cutting everybody else off, like sabotaging them. And I think that's a bit much.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I don't know that I would say that it's a positive thing. I do think there in like work or career situations, having a competitive spirit can work in your favor if done properly. I'd say I don't necessarily know that it's always a bad thing if you are finding this like competitive spirit or energy within yourself. Only if it's not controlled. So I think about, everyone's different. I think some people just naturally have a more competitive spirit, and it can be on like the smallest thing, something so simple, but they just have this yearning to feel like I have to be in first place, I have to win. And so those people, they're going to interact with us, they're going to be our friends, our family members. So I think that can it can be there. I think it just needs to be maybe controlled, especially in your friendships and how you're interacting with people. Like you said, not tearing other people down just so that you can move ahead. But I also think about some people just have this natural yearning within them to be competitive, and or they're maybe even raised that way. I was listening to this episode of Belief in Fatherhood, and he was basically calling himself out and how he hasn't been doing the best job of fostering an appropriate competitive spirit within his kids. He notices that a lot, obviously, they spend time with each other, their siblings. So a lot of their competitiveness is coming from, well, I can do it better than my brother, so I'm good. Or I can outdo my sister, so I'm good. And he was just saying, like, okay, I've noticed that I need to work on trying to encourage them to, even if you have this competitive spirit, but looking at it from the angle of, okay, just because I'm better than my sister or my brother, right? Because they're young kids, that doesn't always mean that one, you're number one or like you're doing like super well,
Are
but
you
you should
even good?
maybe. Or even good. That's what he was saying. He was like, you might not be that good. You just beat them. But either way, he talked about wanting to have them focus on doing their best, regardless of this competition that's there. And so I was thinking about that and how I know for me growing up, because my sibling was a good amount of years older than me, like we didn't have that competitiveness just because of the age gap. But I'd imagine if you're like super close in age, and depending on what your dynamics are with your family or whatever, you might, I don't know if I want to say be raised, or it just may be a part of what's normal for you to have this energy of like, oh, well, I can outdo this person.
I was raised in a house where we did competition. Even now, like if you get my siblings and if you get us in the room, we're trying to beat the other people at activities. Like it's just that's what we were, I don't want to say it's what we're raised to do, but I do think we had healthy competition within our household. Even with grades, I remember for maybe most of high school, my brother who's right next to me and I, we would have to get all A's and whoever had the best, the better GPA, you know, would get money, you know? So, but if we both had all A's, then it's like, okay, we can both get money, right? But there was always that competition. And I think the reason why I say I think it was healthy competition, at least for us, it's like we never were trying to outdo the other person so much that it was tearing them down. You were either good at it or you weren't. And if you weren't, there was something else that you would be good at, you know, and you just have to be coached on how to lose properly. So,
Right,
yeah.
controlled. Like it's,
Exactly.
you know, it's not just left just to like be open and run wild, you know. And I think he's noticed, like as a dad, like, oh, this is how I can foster maybe like a healthier type of competition amongst the children, because they'll definitely take those experiences with them. I just think some people over time, they either have that yearning to be competitive, and it could be at just the, I'm like, why is this? Why you gotta win at this? It don't matter.
I feel like a lot of what I've been saying was, oh, I can see the need for competition in professional spaces, but where it really bothers me, and sometimes it bothers me in professional spaces too, right? Like when you're preventing other people from getting a foot in the door, which I think that has happened to me once before. But where I really can't see it is in personal life. Like, oh, I have to be the first to get married. I have to be the first to have kids. I have to be the first to whatever. To me, that type of competition makes zero sense, and I want zero parts of it.
So, I want to ask you. So, I think in life, it can be natural to look to the left of you, look to the right of you, and you see people living life, accomplishing things. We see our friends moving forward in life, hopefully. Would you say that women kind of looking around and comparing what they have in their life versus what their friends have or don't have is basically kind of like competition? But they want those things for themselves, obviously. They don't maybe just like want it to be like, oh, I got it. You don't. There might be this yearning there, but would you say that that's just another form of competition or that is competition?
I think it depends on how they approach it. So, looking at your friends and saying, oh man, like that's great. That's something that I would like to do. I think that's just admiration. But there are the people who look at their friends doing something and then they feel like they have to one up them. Oh, you've traveled to five countries. I actually went to 10 just last year and probably like 50 in my whole life. So yeah, I did that. Yeah, like there are those people.
I know we've all heard them. It's like you say, oh, I lost 10 pounds. Oh, I lost 15.
Right. I ate a salad I didn't eat today at all. I starved. So, yeah, I think it depends on the people. But I actually had a friend who asked me this. Like, there was one year where someone close to me was getting married. And then maybe within that same year, someone else was having a child. And I have a friend who is like 15 years older than me, because my friends are any age. I don't care. If I like you, we vibe, we vibe. So she was like, oh, does that make you feel bad? Like, you know, other people are accomplishing different things and you're not. And the funny thing is, it had never even occurred to me until she said that. And I was like, girl, no, because where I was in my life at that point, those things didn't make sense. And so I think it would have been a waste of my energy to feel jealous of something that I didn't even want in the moment, you know? So yeah, I think it just depends on who the person is and how they're approaching that, like, comparison to other people. How about you?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I've definitely observed where people will make assumptions that if you aren't moving forward on a certain thing, that you might feel a way that other people are. So, oh, all your friends have babies, especially if you're married too. They're like, so you are you what's going on here?
Where's yours?
Yeah, where's yours? I don't want to say that it's natural, but I do think if you have that desire to have that thing too, it's not that you don't want your friends to have it, you just want it too. You want to be a part of the crew that has it too. So it's like, oh, all my friends have this, have a house or whatever, a car, whatever. It's like, well, I want to be in. I don't want to be the only one out, especially if that's something that you really, really want to. But like you said, there's just a fine line.
But is that competition, right? Like I don't know that I would consider it competition. I think it's just what I want and I don't have it yet. I'm not competing with them. They already got it, but I can still be honest with myself and say, this is something that I want without now turning it into oh, well, these are the things that I have that this person doesn't, you know? Yeah,
Or
so
I
I
came
would,
in first on it. Like, oh, or I came in first on it. Like, oh, well, you bought that house. Well, I bought, oh, you bought a 2,000 square foot house. I bought a 4,000 square foot house. And maybe you didn't really want a 4,000 square foot house. You just wanted to one up this other person. So, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe it's not competition. It's just you want those things too, and you want to be a part of the crew.
Do you feel like, since we're talking about like friends and like relationships, do you feel like competition has shown up in our friendship or maybe any of your other friendships?
As far as our friendship, we've been friends for so long that I feel like some of our earlier experiences I have to think back really hard on. I will say, I think as far as competition, recently, no. But I do think like about our college years, there was this like not even serious, because I don't think either one of us took it that serious, but we did have this sense of like we both really want to do well in school. And so like say we would take a test on something, and if I didn't do as good as Samaria, like say she got like a 90 and I got like an 88 or something, like of course like I want to perform just as well as like all the people around me. Or if like I remember there were times where Samaria would be like, dang, I felt like I did really good on that, I'd be like, dang, I wanted you to do better on that too. Like she would be like, oh, I felt really confident, but it didn't really go like as planned. It wasn't this sense of like, oh, well, I did better than you. It's like, no, I want all of us to do really well. But I do feel like back then we'd be like, what'd you get? Oh, I got this. Oh, I got that. Or I'd be like, oh, I feel like I knocked that out of the park and that did not go well.
I also feel like I don't really remember college. But
That's the only thing I could think of, but it wasn't serious. I just remember this sense of like we both wanted to do really well, just because I felt like we took pride in performing well.
Absolutely. I don't think it's shown up in our friendship at all. And I think a large part of that is the age difference, but also that I can't remember a time where we've wanted the same things. And so I think that has helped a lot. So when we started this podcast, someone said to me, oh, well, your friend's always talking about her husband and her child. Is she like trying to make you feel some type of way? And I was like, no, like that's where she is in her life. What else do you want her to talk about? It's a podcast called Girlfriends and Goals, where we talk about the different phases of womanhood. And so I was telling them, like, I would encourage her to speak about those things because I think it's worthwhile to talk about that stage of womanhood versus the stage where I'm in womanhood. And so, needless to say, I think we have not really had competition in our friendship, and it's because we want different things, maybe out of life, similar things, but different things. For example, we want success, right? We want our home life to be peaceful, right? So we want those things, but I think the ways that we would accomplish it would be different. Like, I don't think Neosha wants to go out and get a PhD.
Absolutely not. But I will be your biggest cheerleader.
Yes, and I know for a fact I don't want a child right now. So yeah, I think we've always been at different stages, and that has probably helped to prevent any type of like feeling like, oh, I need to be first, or I need to be, you know.
And we but stages, but I think we've been like kind of misaligned in terms of like what we're taking on. Like I pursued my career, worked in that for a long time, but you only did but like a few years and was like, oh, I'm going back to school. And so, like, we've just kind of been misaligned in that way. But I also think it's our personalities as well. And because we don't have that competitiveness, for you, it's on like games and stuff. But I think even if we were aligned, I don't know that it would be there.
Yeah, I can pinpoint a specific time where I was like, I'm not about to be ridiculously competitive with other women. And I had to have been like maybe later teens at this stage. And someone would always compare me and this one girl. The girl and I didn't even know each other, right? But this one person who knew us both would always make comparison. And I remember for maybe about a month, it got to me. I was like, okay, this person is so great. This person is doing this and that, and she's achieved this and whatever. And for about a good month, it had me. I was like, man, I'm not like this person. And after that time, I realized how little I was appreciating myself and not seeing all the great things in myself that maybe other people could see. Didn't matter if they were seeing it or not, but I wasn't seeing the things that were good about me because it was all about what is this person good at? This person who I don't even know. What is she good at? And what do I need to do to pretty much be her? And so I remember that moment. And ever since then, when I had my wake up moment, I didn't want to be in competition with other people. I started to set out what it was that I wanted to accomplish. And you know what? It all became about when will God bring those things into my life? When will I have the opportunity to achieve those things? And until then, just like doing the prep work, which of course isn't easy, you know, when you want something, you want it. But yeah, you can't rush something that's not like in its season. So I specifically remember that time in my life. And I think from then on, I haven't had that like I need to compete with other women
Yeah, and
moment.
I think in regards to friendships, not just our friendships, but even the other friendships that we have, I know we both want our friends to win and have all the things that they want. And so I think if your friendships are genuine or your connections with other women is genuine, I think that kind of alleviates this need to be number one in comparing or being competitive with other women. Because I'm like, all right, well, I want Samaria by my side, having all the things that she wants that will make her happy and to be successful. Like, if anything, that makes me look good.
Also, you know what? I think it's a sign of insecurity a bit. And insecurity isn't bad. It's just something that needs to be acknowledged and worked through, right? But I do think it's a sign of insecurity. Like, if you're not satisfied with where you are and with the things that you're doing, I think it's impossible to be happy for and celebrate other people. And that's not to say there won't be those moments where somebody's getting the exact thing that you want and you feel some type of way about it. That's being human, right? So I'm not trying to downplay those emotions, but I do think if you were someone who wasn't satisfied with how your wedding turned out, when you go to somebody else's wedding, you're probably going to be the one nitpicking, like, oh, well, the food didn't taste that good. I know everybody else liked it, but I actually hated it. Or if you aren't satisfied with where you are professionally, I think you then become the person who's saying, oh, this person doesn't deserve that place that they're in. So, yeah, I think a lot of times this wanting to compete with other people comes from a place of I feel small and I need to make myself feel big somehow because I need to compensate for what I lack.
So, in the past, have you had situations where you felt like other women were in competition with you? And what was that like, and how did you handle it?
I don't think I've had anybody trying to compete with me because how can they? No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. No, but I don't think I've had other women compete with me. There was an event recently where someone wasn't getting her way, and I overheard her say something like, it doesn't matter because I'm the best person at this event. And I remember overhearing that and thinking, first of all, no, you're not. Now, I will say I wasn't the best, and I knew that I could confidently say the best was not me. But it also wasn't her, you know? And so I remember overhearing that and thinking, now, how they get in it? Like, why are you dragging other people into this that has nothing to do with them? You just needed a way to assert your superiority or something like that. And that's why you decided to say, well, it doesn't matter because I'm the best in here. So yeah, I don't know that I've had anybody really trying to compete with me, at least no other women. But yeah, how about you?
Yeah, so when you said she was saying how she felt like she was the best, so she verbalized it. I'll say I think in the past when I first met certain friends, I think they thought that I was more competitive than what I actually am. I think I've mentioned in the past on the podcast that like when people first meet me, like I'm not a very bubbly person. I'm not mean, but I'm not super smiley. It maybe can come across as a bit standoffish, but I have gotten the feedback that people have assumed that I'm maybe like stuck up, or I think I'm better than people. But then they're like, oh wow, that's not you. Like once they like talk to me, get to know me. So I don't know. She just flat out said it, but I think sometimes people can maybe read that in people, even if they don't say anything, and even if it's not true. But thankfully, in my personal life or like close friends, I don't think that there's ever been like a competition type situation to my knowledge. But I can think of when I was pretty recent out of school, I mentioned before that I did like this leadership program. The goal was to kind of propel you in a short period of time. So when I got my first placement, I could remember there was this like competitive environment because I was like this new person coming in. And I think all the other women felt a bit threatened by me in that, like, oh, you're the new person. You're already coming in with this title. You're young. You don't have as much experience. But that was kind of the whole point of the program. And it wasn't just me. It was me and everyone else who went through the program. But it did create this really competitive environment, I feel like, with me and all the other women. And with that situation, I just knew I had to give it time. One, for them to get to know me, get more comfortable. And also just kind of thinking of being in their shoes of, okay, you've been here. What does this mean for me? This is their livelihood. So in that situation, I gave them space. I wasn't trying to be super close with them up front, just more so to observe, like kind of how things are, who they were. And over time, they warmed up to me, but it was definitely this, like, oh, well, we have to show that we're better, even in that we've been here.
You know what's funny to me? The most competitive group that I have ever met have to be moms. And oh, well, my child is doing this. Oh, my child is doing that. And we have a podcast friend who doesn't hang out with other moms because of this. I actually think we should have her on the podcast to talk about her reasons behind like not really getting involved with the other moms because that's what they will do. They will, my child speaks two languages. My child is exposed to this. And so I wonder if you'll run into those people. I wonder if you'll become one of those people, girl. I don't know.
Child, stop me if I do.
Oh, I definitely will. I will come on the podcast and do a whole episode called Miyosha's Acting Brand New.
Crazy mom alert.
I know, right? But yeah, that's what we have for this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure that you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.